Hello, hello, and welcome to another walking session podcast. Maz Miller here. A disclaimer that I don't do disclaimers. While I'm a psychologist, this is not therapy. You know the drill. Take what resonates with you and throw the rest out. Grab your headphones, grab your shoes, and let's walk it out. Alrighty, well, today I am answering your questions. I have chosen two that or dilemmas, they're probably more dilemmas than questions actually, or a bit of both, that I think maybe go together. So I thought I would just answer both of those. Anyway, trying to group them is what I'm trying to say. All right, I'm going to read them out and then, yeah, we'll jump in. The first one says, "Hey Maz, thanks for creating this space. You're welcome. I've been struggling with something that feels small but really affects me. Every night when I go to bed, I start replaying conversations from the day in my head. I worry about whether I said the wrong thing or if people are secretly judging me. Sometimes I even think about things that happened years ago and get caught up in what ifs. I know it's not helping me, but I just can't switch my brain off once it starts. Do you have any tips for calming down at night when overthinking takes over?" I think I do. P.S. I'm recording this one in the car, so if you hear cars driving past, that is why. There's so many things that I want to say. I guess my first one would be what psychologists call a worry diary. What you do with a worry diary is pretty much what it says. You write down all the things that you're worrying about, and your worry diary is what sits next to you at night, and because you're saying it's particularly happening at night when you go to bed and you're replaying the conversation. So you start to write out the things that worry you, and you basically choose that you're going to address it the following day. So you might write down, like you said, yeah, like, "I've had this conversation, I've had this happen." I think that what happens at night is, and the reason why we overthink so much at night, is because you probably have such a busy day that you haven't had time to sit quietly and actually process what's happened. So your brain's like, hey there, now's the time to do this. So because you're not giving yourself space to process things, this is one thing. Once you do go quiet and you have some space, your brain is, yeah, taking the opportunity to process things. The other reason why I'm suggesting the worry diary, or psychologists do in general, is what I've said before. Sometimes your brain doesn't know what's going on. So giving it that, there's so much traffic. I don't know where I've parked. There's sometimes so much going on. So your brain kind of, writing it down signifies to your brain that, yep, I've got this, I'm hearing you, I'll get to it. The next step to a worry diary is also allocating a worry time. So if you worry a lot, you can use this worry diary during the day as well. But then you allocate a worry time. So let's say for you that might be, I don't know, 4:30 p.m. every day. It might be 7 a.m. the next morning. It might be lunchtime at 12. And what you then do with the worry diary, I say worry diary, you don't have to have a pen and paper one. You can use your notes and just have that as your worry note. So then what you do is you allocate that time and you write things down and you sort of signal to your brain that you'll worry about it then. You'll worry about it at 4 p.m. or you'll worry about it at lunchtime. And what that starts to create for you is a little bit of more, I suppose, control over your brain, so it doesn't just take over the way it's doing it at night. And that there is an allocated time. What you'll find will happen is by the time that time comes around, some of those worries that you've written down, you'll think of as really silly. And then the ones that you need to problem solve around or really give some attention to, you can do that as well. And by that stage, you should be much calmer to do it. So they're probably my tips. I, as always, will also say doing things during the day that help, like exercise and drinking water and addressing things in life that are worrying you. So you're saying sometimes you think about what happened years ago, you get caught up in the what ifs. A really good strategy that I've heard about the what ifs is that when your brain says, "What if blah blah blah," you swap it to "even then." So say your brain's like, "Oh, what if we didn't sell that house? Maybe if we didn't sell that house, we would have more money." I don't know. Then you say to your brain, "Even if we sold the house, we probably there's no guarantee they would have more money, if that makes sense. So things would have happened even if the same situation would, we don't know. So most likely it could still be the case even if. So when what if comes, you change it to even if. But yeah, addressing some of this stuff earlier, it's almost like when people say, what do I do when my kid chucks a tantrum? It's a little bit too late when the tantrums happen. It's the build up to the tantrum where we can take control and do something about things. Once the tantrum is there, that's just a reactive situation that there's not much to do with. The other thing that I will suggest to you is if you're finding that you're overthinking heaps and you're doing it in bed, it's kind of having, fostering good sleep habits is also helpful, you know. You don't want to worry in bed. So if that starts to take over, you get up, like we said, or you write in your worry diary or you go do something else. We do want to teach you healthy sleeping habits, which say that the only two things I do here is have some fun and sleep. I rest. This is not the place where I work through life's issues at night. So, yeah, it's always a good idea to sort of get up and do things and then come back to bed when you are actually ready to sleep and can do that. All right. I hope that one helps. And underlying with all of this, I feel like you're saying things other people are secretly judging you, which leads me into my next thing that I chose for a reason. Maybe a little bit of work on your confidence. Maybe you're a little bit of work on reducing anxiety. Might be helpful so that, yeah, we're not just worrying about, yeah, let's just sort this thing out that happens at night. Usually that's just one little output from all the other things that are underlying it. You know, are you questioning yourself? Are you lacking a bit of confidence? Why are you getting so anxious? That kind of stuff needs to be addressed as well. All right. I hope that one helps. The next one I want to bring up now, well, I've got another 5-10 minutes, says, hi Maz, I could really use your help with this. Normally I think of myself as a confident person, but lately I feel like every little mistake completely knocks me off course. At work, if I mess something up, even something small, like sending an email with a typo, I spend the rest of the day thinking about it. See how these two are cousins? I worry about what my boss thinks and I end up questioning even if I'm good enough at my job. It feels exhausting to let one small slip up ruin my whole week, but that's what's happening at the moment. How do you build resilience so mistakes don't feel so defining? Oh, gosh. Okay, so with this one, normally you're confident, but lately mistakes. Okay, so there's a few things that I want to say. Number one is, I think I did a whole thing about, I think maybe the podcast episode's called The Things They Tell Us, something like that. That kind of touches on confidence. But there's a few things, I guess, that stand out to me here. Number one, tell me a bit more about why your confidence seems to be, surely can't be, is it just work specific or is it in life in general? I'm not very clear on that. But what I want to say is confidence is built from doing hard things, succeeding at those hard things, and then the knowing that you can do hard things. What seems to be happening to you at the moment is that your confidence is a little bit knocked because that's not happening. Maybe you're doing some things, hard or not, and you're not doing them well. Therefore, you're then reflecting and taking that on board as, I'm not good enough, I'm not doing a good job, what's everyone saying about me, etc., etc. So one thing that I think might help you is just sitting down and just getting a little bit of perspective. All right, you might be in a season of life right now where you're not doing things so well. First of all, why? Is your focus having much focus and memory at the moment? Is that because of your sleep? Is there other things that are distracting you or worrying you? So let's address the underlying stuff as to why mistakes are happening at work. Two, are you around someone that's more critical than usual at work? That's sort of pointing out that you need to do it all perfectly. And three, reflect on what, let's just go there. What does it say about you if you're not perfect at work? What does it say about you if you continue making mistakes? What are you worried about? What are you so scared of? Are you scared of losing your job? What does that mean? Like, really delve into the fears, because monsters live in the dark. And once you shed some light on it, you'll realize perspective, right? Like, you'll realize that it's not so bad. The other thing that I think might be really good is to do a little bit of journaling on the good things that you have done at work. So I don't know how long you've been in this workplace, but maybe like reflecting on over the last 5 years, whether it's in this job or other jobs, here are some of the achievements. Here's some of the good stuff. Here's some of the, you know, qualities that I bring to the team, and just focusing on things that you have been able to do. And if you're like going through a little bit of a stage where you're making mistakes, then yeah, welcome to being human, right? We all make mistakes. Now, none of us are perfect, but also that doesn't undo all the good stuff that you have done over the years. It doesn't make you a bad employee just because you're going through a bit of a tough time, if that makes sense. So I think that's that one. Yeah, I'd be really interested to see if this is translating, because yeah, you normally think of yourself as a confident person. And your resilience, you want to build resilience. So the other thing I could suggest is reminding yourself that all of these things that you're talking about are skills, you know, emailing or making mistakes. Work stuff is usually a skill thing. So it's not so much a reflection of you as a nice person, right? So you making a spelling mistake in your email does not mean that you're this horrible dad. I don't know if you're dad, but you know what I mean? Or it doesn't mean that you're a bad friend. So kind of reminding yourself that you also have this whole other life outside of work, I think, is helpful. And yeah, like maybe if you can be practical about it, have a think about, like I said, why is it happening? If this normally doesn't happen, then why is it happening? Reflect on where else in life you might be given a little bit more. Like there might be someone that's been sick. There might be home life that needs you more. There might be, you might be going out more. I don't know. Something's happening for you to, as a generally confident and resilient person, for you to start making mistakes. So let's sort that out first. And then second of all, let's just like reassure ourselves that you are a good person, you are a good worker, etc. Because sometimes what can happen is where your focus goes, energy flows, right? Like sometimes you can sort of be so worried about making mistakes that you make mistakes. Our brain, especially in high pressure situations, does what it's told. So if you say, oh my God, don't make a mistake, it hears make a mistake. It hears the action word. So maybe what might be also helpful to you is a little bit of journaling, or even like having a screensaver that says, I'm trying to think of an affirmation that doesn't say don't make mistake. I trust myself to do a good job. I am a confident email writer, or whatever you're specifically trying to do. I trust that I am capable of delivering what's asked of me at work. And maybe you just have this on while you're at work. You don't have to have this on, that screensaver on all day. But, you know, like a little bit of reflecting on and shifting that belief, because maybe you're paying so much attention to doing a wrong thing that now you're starting to. That would probably be my last thing. All right, that's all I want to do. I just want to answer those two because I feel like they're cousins. They seem both to have a little bit of a wobbly, a little bit of uncertainty about themselves and things that are worrying them and bringing things up. As always, what I will do after this is I'm going to chuck a worksheet into the walking session crew, and you're able to jump in there and download that and maybe dig a little bit deeper. I hope that, you know, this helped. I'm going to try and do this once a month, so, you know, that I'm not just talking crap, and that you guys get a chance to tell me what you want to hear. All right, as always, thank you so much for walking it out with me today. If you found this helpful, please share it or leave a ratings so more people can join us. And as always, I will see you in the next one. Peace.